Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and I hope you enjoy today's podcast, a little different. It's a little bit of an explanation of philosophy around success, fulfillment, happiness, and inner wealth and the role that we play. Inner wealth is not a religion, and it's not a psychology. It is a philosophy based on universal laws of nature, based on ancient truth. And sometimes we get lost and forget that when we're sort of delving into how to have a happy home and how to do well at work. We forget the roots and the philosophy behind it. So today, I'm just going to run through a little bit of it. It's more appropriate to do this in person or in a workshop environment, but let me just try. There are two worlds. There's the inner world, the one that's within you, and the outer world. So we call it inner wealth and outer wealth. Solving problems of the outer wealth, of the outside world, how you experience life, how you feel, how successful you are, what's going on around you, never ever correlates to any source of solution from the inner wealth. So in other words, the outer philosophy of life has a different set of principles and rules to the inner one. The philosophy of inner wealth is that if you find your true nature, your true inner self, you will feel fulfilled, you'll feel happy, as the word is different to the outer wealth. You will feel inspired. You will have a clear understanding of what you want in life. You will have absolute resilience. You'll be authentic and you'll feel grounded. So that's your true nature. And what blocks you getting in touch with that, what blocks you from having a relationship with your true nature is only the outer wealth, the outer world. Your beliefs, your feelings, your interests, your ambitions, your environment, your desires, all the things on the outside world block you from experiencing the inner world. The inner world is what we're actually looking for. There's an old quote that says, nothing of the senses ever satisfies the soul, which means nothing of the senses, nothing outside of us will ever satisfy that thing that's inside of us. In the religious language of the biblical thing, it says, be in the world, but not of the world. And it's the same thing. It's basically saying there is a part of you that's not of this world. There's a part of you that's your true nature. Getting in touch with that is what you're actually trying to find when you do things in the outer world. So the outer world is absolutely built and constructed with conscious purpose. So in other words, what's going on around you, there's order in the chaos, what's going on around you has a bigger reason for it going on around you than you know. Your body was originally designed in its infancy, millions and millions of years ago, from a single cell. And that single cell has a motive. So in other words, your whole body is constructed of primal, original cells. And those cells seek pleasure, avoid pain. So the mission of the body, the physical body that you're in, is to seek pleasure, avoid pain. Now, is the vast majority of people are engaged in that pursuit. In fact, most religious, spiritual, self-help, corporate culture, HR management, friendships are all built out of that model that if you do A, you will get pleasure. If you do B, you will get pain. So let's not do B, let's do more of A. It's a spectacular construction because what it says is, wherever you can't see balance, you'll go. Now, if you can't see balance in something that's painful, you'll run away from the pain towards the pleasure of escaping pain. But in the pleasure that you find, the pain that you escaped exists. If you seek pleasure, on the other hand, when you arrive at the pleasure you seek, you'll find pain. Now, you can multiply this by 1,000 situations. A new job, it's going to be great, you get there, and about a year later, you realize it's got discomfort and pain. You go on holidays. After a couple of days of holidays, you suddenly realize that there's as many discomforts as there was back in the working world, and you have to deal with those too. You can see that Facebook and Instagram and all these social medias are built on the definition that there are other people in the world who have pleasure without pain. And therefore, young children and youth are being, in a sense, brainwashed to believe that other people have found pleasure without pain. Therefore, they should pursue whatever other people are doing. A rock star, a performer, an actor, someone on TV, a friend, anybody can put up a picture of themselves laughing and having the greatest time and assume and project the fact, that's called an influencer, that they are having pleasure in which there is no pain. And so the delusion the body constructs is, I wish to seek pleasure, avoid pain. That delusion causes us noise. It's a lot of noise. And as soon as that noise comes, we can't hear our true nature. We only hear the noise. And that noise takes us in the direction of the degree to which we seek the pleasure. Now, if we seek the pleasure in a physical sense, the body will reward you with all sorts of chemicals, and you've heard all about that stuff, but that's just not the truth all. The truth is, it causes, if you find a pleasure and the body finds a dopamine or or adrenaline in that pleasure, it will adapt to that pleasure and want more of it. And that leads to the word addiction. If you seek a pleasure and you don't get as much as you want physically, it will lead to the body producing chemicals, which causes us to feel tired and depressed. So the body is an incredible science mechanism to take us in the direction of our illusions, our delusions. Now, when you see somebody who's performing at an extremely high level in life, and we use these as role models, you know, a Steve Jobs or someone, we presume that they are having pleasure without pain. But basically, that person is saying, whether there's pain or pleasure, I'm going to do it anyway. And so they're actually rising above the body as a control mechanism for their activity, for their motive, for their reason for doing things. And one of Innerwell's most important teachings and philosophies is that, to rise above your body as a source of motivation. In other words, if you go for a run, if it's for pleasure, you're going to become addicted. It's going to mean you want more of it. When you want more of it, you're going to become addicted. And when you hurt yourself because you've done too much of it, you're going to get the opposite, which is all the pain that comes from the lack of the addiction. So just be careful. That's step one. And we talk about foods and substances. We talk about sex and approval. We talk about greed, which is control. All these things are very physiological things driven by the body's appetite to seek pleasure, avoid pain. You can't help it. As soon as you balance the body, it will find an imbalance to go seek. And so you have to, this evolution of your awareness, evolution of your physicality, is absolutely conditional on how fast you determine that in the thing you're about to do, there's pleasure and pain equally balanced, and whether you still want to go ahead. If you want to go and run a marathon and you think that there's going to be pleasure from doing it, you're going to find out the hard way that there's not. So pleasure and pain balanced is where you learn to listen to your true nature, your inner voice. You listen to your true nature rather than the outer voice, which is your body seeking pleasure and pain, which it will always do. You can witness it, you can experience it, you can say, no, I'm not going to go into that because of pleasure or pain motive. But then the body will just go and find something else to pleasure pain. So you need to be, in a sense, diligent with managing your body, what you eat, what you do, and we call this routine and habit and all the disciplines and all these things. But the reason you're doing it is not to permanently erase your body's appetite. It's to temporarily erase it when you're talking about doing something that's important to you. The second area which is magnificent inside the outer world is your mind. This mind is built with, is controlled by what's called an ego. And the ego is very similar to the body, but it defines pleasure differently. Your ego wants to be right. So if you win a game, the body will have a physiological pleasure from winning and then have a physiological pain as a result of that winning. In other words, disappointment in the morrow or frustration with something else in their life, the body will have a balance of pleasure and pain. But the mind wants to be right, and the mind would go, I want to win that game of things so I can prove to everybody how good I am. I want to prove that what I do is right. I'm better than everybody else. I'm superior. And this righteousness is absolutely recruited in all fundamental religious philosophies, and it's absolutely recruited in all hype-based motivation programs such as the Anthony Robbins and what have you, where they wire people up to say, you are absolutely right. You are right. You are righteous. You are better than everybody else. You are superior. And if you follow that superiority, you'll get where you want to go. And there's a certain truth to that. The only thing is that there is an equal balance of right and wrong. And therefore, there's a massive, massive probability that if you go down the motivation path of wanting to be right, you'll also experience what's called depression, which is a feeling of being wrong all the time. Righteousness and righteousness go hand in hand. So the mind is also part of nature's little trick to take you to where you are deluded. If you think you will feel right by winning, it will take you there and you'll win, and then you won't be right. You'll be equally right and wrong. And this realization is temporary because the mind can't help itself. It will just go to the next thing and try to be right. And it'll have an argument with someone at home and try to be right. It'll talk to your spouse at home and try to be right. It'll go to the shops and try to be right. It'll take a job and try to be right. It'll earn more money to try to be right. It will endlessly pursue righteousness. You are the steerer of this mind, and therefore you don't have to go all the places it says to go to be right. You can actually see right and wrong before you leave, and therefore evolve without incident, evolve without experience, evolve without accident. But if you can't, you'll evolve anyway, so it doesn't really matter as long as you are prepared for the accidents or the distress that comes from being right all the time. Now, this habit of righteousness is inherited. It's billions of years old. The cells are trying to seek pleasure, avoid pain, but they're also an on-off switch, trying to be right, trying not to be wrong. It's a psychological expression of pleasure and pain. And so as we evolve to be animals and crocodiles, and we evolve through all the layers of being a species, even in the biblical language of Adam and Eve and what have you, there is an inherent right-wrong explanation. And this right-wrong explanation is a meme. It's a conscious meme that's been welded inside most people's brain, and they don't even know they think it. So it goes without saying, this is all very complex to understand how a human being works on the outside. And it's also incredibly understandable that there's a lot of noise from that right-wrong situation in relationships, in health management, in knowledge, in business advancement. There's a lot of noise that comes that blocks the inner voice, which is your true nature. Now, the belief of the true nature, let's talk about that for a minute. Your true nature knows what it wants. In other words, it's telling you what it wants. It's not asking you what you want, because you are your ego and you are your body. It's telling you what you want. It's therefore a voice that's independent of your circumstances. It doesn't have any care whether your environment is a prison cell or whether it's a Bondi Beach or whether it's in New York City. It doesn't care. It tells you what it wants, not what you want. That's the first thing. Secondly, it's inherently good. In other words, kindness and generosity and all these so-called right behaviors are in the outer world, the way if we adapt those, to try and be better than everybody else or try and be a good version of ourselves or all those things, they always lead to their opposite. Kindness and cruelty, generosity and miserly or penny pinching, caring and compassion always leads to self-absorption, narcissism. And so when you take these words that are natural consequences of your true nature into the outer world, they become just another mechanism of the body saying and the mind saying, I want to be right, I want to seek more pleasure. But if you are in your true nature, you will be those things automatically and you won't even know it because you'll just be. In your true nature, therefore, there are things like self-confidence, there are things like resilience, there are things like clarity, there are things like success that you will achieve without being right and without seeking pleasure. Now, if there are problems with success, they come from the outer world. If there are problems with clarity, it comes from the outer world, mind noise. If there are problems with authenticity, they are problems in the outer world. And if there are problems with resilience, they come from the outer world, because we're trying to solve an inner issue with an outer resource. So if we have no clarity, no resilience, or we're lacking resilience, we're lacking authenticity, and we're lacking success, it's because the noise of the outer world is blocking what is organic and natural from the inner world. Once again, I say, the inner world knows what it wants. Your true nature knows what it wants. You, on the other hand, might say, I want pleasure, or I want to be right. And now there's the battle, the royal battle between the ego and your true nature. Now, both don't have, one doesn't have to surrender to the other. One doesn't have to surrender to the other. This is not a win-lose situation. The outer world can be seen, witnessed, experienced in a way that makes it noiseless. In other words, if something goes wrong, you see what's right about it. If something goes right, you can see what's wrong about it. If you have a pleasure, you can actually witness the pain. And if you have a pain, you can witness the pleasure. You can actually transport certain ideals or philosophies from the universal laws to understand the outer world in a way that means it doesn't get ahead of itself. The ego doesn't sort of, what's the word for it? It doesn't run wild. It's still there, and you will still have incidents that you have to deal with. But those incidents don't become a permanent scar in your memory or in your day or in your life. And the disqualification between your true nature and the outer world, the disqualification between having these reconciled, the disqualification is called a meme. A meme is a belief that you have about the outer world that holds you and incapacitates you in being able to see order in the chaos of the outer world. Now, those memes are like, if I get married, I should be married forever. The best thing I do is stay with my partner for the sake of the kids. The best thing, I am measured by my wealth. I am successful because look where the company promoted me. I'm driving a fancy car, therefore I'm important. There are memes and memes and memes, and religious memes like we are the chosen one. I remember a person up in Canada, a Catholic person in an indigenous community, saying that they'd converted to Catholicism and they were the chosen ones. I've heard Jewish people say they are the chosen ones. I've heard Islamic people say that they're going to make a jihad so their religion exists across the planet. I've heard Buddhist people look at others and say they're suffering because of blah, blah. And so everybody ends up with noise in some form or another if they hold on to that belief set that keeps them away from their true nature. Meditation is typically taught as a process to calm the outer nerves, the nervous system of the body. It calms the nervous system of the body. But it doesn't, never will it placate the appetite for the body and the cells of the body to seek pleasure, avoid pain. and it will never placate the appetite of the ego to be right rather than wrong. It's meant to drive a person to their inner voice, but if it leaves the outer voice to, if it either kills the outer voice, so the person ends up being a monk in a temple, or a nun in a temple, and have no material ambition, well, they've just killed the outer world, and that person's become the inner world. And that is not necessarily a great place to be. It's our true nature. It has all the fulfillment. It has all the sensory experience of success and love and all the other things. But the outer world is there for a good reason. The outer world is there for a good reason because it evolves us. And a nun or a monk who lives in a cave can only evolve to the level of the perception they have of the world around them. So without going on an aeroplane into New York and working in a high-rise office and witnessing the World Trade Center, that monk and nun can only leave their imagination to experience what it might be like. And they have no idea. And I've worked with them. They have an idealism of how the world looks, and they have an idealism around suffering and pain until they see someone who has their brother or their mother or someone has hung himself from a tree. This is not... their reality is a cave, and yeah, sure, it's cold and they've got to concentrate, but that's mastery of the inner world. The outer world takes a whole different skill set, and that outer world is the reason there's noise in the world. That outer world is the reason that people are disgruntled and disturbed and frustrated, is because they put wrong expectations on how life is going to be, how life is going to go. And at an inner wealth, after studying so many of the philosophies around the planet and involving myself in them, I came up with this very grumpy solution to say, every single place I went to teach the teachers about self-development, spiritual growth, personal growth, business growth, is anchored in the belief that there can be pleasure without pain, there can be right without wrong, and therefore it is the memes that sit underneath the people who are driving those philosophies, whether it's business or personal, are anchored in societal means. And they have to be anchored in societal means because they're mostly commercial. They're mostly trying to seduce people into collaboration. And there's the old philosophy, if you want someone to be seduced and collaborate with you, tell them what they want to hear. There's more pleasure than pain. They're more right than wrong. And if they follow you, they'd be more pleasure than pain and more right than wrong. The confusion comes when you think the outer world is the inner world, and it's not. It's like when you look at the ocean, if you imagine this, I'm standing, sitting here, facing out to sea, watching the waves come through. And if I took a video of it, you'd say, wow, what a beautiful ocean. I know that ocean. And then on Sunday, there's expected to be a pretty big storm here. If I came back and took a video of the ocean, I said, here's the same ocean. You go, oh, no, it's not as good as it was before. And so suddenly we can see how our perception of beauty, or our perception of even the ocean and the true nature of the ocean, can be distorted by our beliefs and our likes and our dislikes and our pleasures and our pain, because it will be cold up here on Sunday with the storm, or Monday, whenever it comes. And it will be societal. It'll be wrong to be out here on a windy, coldy, miserable day looking at a crazy ocean rattling around and drowning people. So it's really easy to start thinking that when the ocean is a certain way, it's its true nature. And therefore, when a person is a certain way, it's its true nature. But it's the same. If you meet a person one day and they're really nice and they're kind and they're generous and they're friendly, and the next day they're angry and mean and violent, what's their true nature? Well, the answer is neither of those. That's their external self. That's their identity. That's their ego. And playing with the ego is really important. To be able to manipulate it and manage it, it determines the degree of the number of people you attract. But if it's in opposition to what the true nature wants, then the battle within leads a person to a very bad place, a very toxic place, and they will be asked to evolve by nature. That's the real thing. So the whole of this story comes back to the concept of looking in the mirror. When we're born, we're born to look in the mirror. The evidence around us of people seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, and people trying to be right without wrong, the evidence around us is infinite. We can either directly oppose everything and say, I'm going to do the opposite to those people. So in other words, if someone's stressed, I'm going to be calm. If someone's violent, I'm going to be passive. But what we've done is we've just appealed to the body saying, pleasure looks like this, pain looks like that. Or the mind, right looks like this, wrong looks like that. And we've bought into the whole system straight away in pursuit of an opposite or in pursuit of an emulation. So when we look in the mirror, we see the entirety of life. We see a person as a whole being. We see them being good and we see them being bad. We see them being happy, we see them being sad. Now, they might mask all that in their Facebook and their Instagram and say, look at me being happy. You know, if you know that you know, that the outer world does not function on the myth. If you can see that, every time you have an experience where you make a judgment of something or you get upset about something, you can come back to a process that helps you evolve. And when you evolve, it means the outer world becomes ordered and you come back to your true nature. And there's the understanding of the mission and the vision and the purpose of you studying inner wealth. It is to actually break memes of convention so that you do exist in the outer world. You're in the outer world, but you're not of it. You're of your true nature, which is already happy, already content, already fulfilled, already excited, already thrilled, already energized, already vital. And instead of hanging on to the outer world for those things, which are extremely temporary in the outer world, you can just come back to your inner world. Now, that doesn't mean listening to music. That doesn't mean sitting on cliff tops looking at the world in your true nature. That is not it. It's understanding that there is a you that doesn't give a shit. There's a you that's before all of that. It comes from looking in the mirror and seeing and asking yourself, if I see someone being cruel, where am I cruel? If I see someone being happy, where am I happy? What's the drawback and the benefit of being happy? What's the benefit and drawback of being sad or whatever it is? When your body says, I'm going to go and do this for pleasure, you go, well, there's pain in it. Do you really want to do that? Is that what I really want? And then you have to know what you really want. To know what you really want, you need to find stillness. And the way you find that stillness is really easy. It's not sitting cross-legged. It's not sitting like I am right now, looking at the ocean out in front of me. It's being in nature. And being means just being. There are no rules. You don't have to breathe a certain way. You don't have to wear certain clothing. You don't have to define nature as anything. You need to be in nature. And the way you be in nature, I find best, is to go for a walk, take your iPhone, take photos of the beauty of little flowers and birds and insects or whatever it is, and post them up on Instagram and actually connect to your own true nature by connecting to nature in a sensory way, in the senses of the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and the touch. And now, when you get all the five senses, and it will be six you'll eventually experience, when you get all the six senses connected to something in nature, you're in your true nature. And that is something that doesn't take 6 years or 10 years of yoga practice. You don't have to do back bends. You don't have to eat certain vegetables. It doesn't care whether you like the whales or don't like the whales. All you need to do is get all of the senses focused on one thing for a few seconds and you'll be in your true nature. All right, that's enough of this for today. I really want to say that the concept of inner wealth and following this path is really important, but it's really important to understand where it differentiates itself from the mainstream. From what you're going to hear on YouTube, what you're going to hear on podcasts, that are going to reinforce memes and therefore make it even harder to evolve yourself back to the origins. This is Chris. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.